what are the seven areas of wealth and how wealthy are you? Let's look at the first one in this kind of pyramid of life mastery. If you're going to master your life, you know that this is what my focus is in life. I think there's about a half dozen, say, at least seven items that if you don't focus on these, I don't care how your life is, it's not going to be the level of quality you want it to be. So these are forms of wealth. The first one is physical mastery, physical wealth. What we're talking about here is energy wealth. When you don't have a lot of energy, what's your life like? If you're not feeling well physically, how much is your money really worth to you? Not a whole lot. You know, if we don't master this area of our life, if we don't realize this is a source of our wealth and we pursue just money, people do this all the time. People will trade something that's worth a lot less for money, their health and their time. You're trading time for money. What we want to do is get you to become a different kind of financial trader or an investor or an owner where money is working for you when you're sleeping. You're not having to give up your time. Time's the most valuable resource you have. And the only valuable resource more than time itself is the physical energy that makes that possible. So, you know, the perfect example is, who knows the exact number of how much Malcolm Forbes left when he died? Exact number. All of it. Every penny. That's the exact number. He didn't take any of it with him. And that old joke is kind of a, you know, a sarcastic sounding element, but it's true. What are you going to take with you when it comes to economics? The answer is nothing. So this area is the area most people pay attention to the least in our country and around the world in Western societies, and yet it's the most important one. So I'd ask you right now to give yourself a score, if you will. How wealthy are you when it comes to pure physical vitality and energy? You wake up in the morning, it's there. You feel strong. You feel aligned. You feel like your body is there for you. Whatever you want to make happen, it's there to help you enjoy. Because if it isn't, I don't care what you have, you're not going to have the enjoyment called wealth. Because remember, what is wealth is very different than what is financial independence. And it affects both of these areas, doesn't it? So where are you, 0 to 10? And I don't mean 10 by somebody else's definition of 10. Your definition of what a 10 was at 20 may be different at 50, but it's still a 10 for you. And it doesn't matter what I think or anyone else thinks. What do you think it is for you right now, 0 to 10? 10 is exactly where you want to be physically, your level of energy. 0 is not at all. Where would you put yourself? I'll give you an example of how poorly people think of wealth as just money. I'll give you a perfect example. I remember I went to go see Cirque Soleil. Has anybody seen Cirque Soleil? Spectacular. When it first came out, it used to go around the country. I guess it still does at times. And I took my family, and I was really proud that, you know, I was doing well so we could get, like, the very front seats. And so we're right there, and we're going to be taken care of. We go straight down front, one of those great things that abundance offers you, the privilege of having, you know, the freedom to show up late and have the best seat, right? So I'm going to take my whole family there, and, you know, my boys are with me. I have three boys, my daughter, my wife. And we go down, and we sit down there. And, you know, in the beginning of Cirque Soleil, things are happening in the audience. It's really a fun experience. And there is three seats beside us, and nobody's in them. And finally, towards the last few moments before the thing happens, I turn back, and I see this man coming around the corner. And it was hard not to see him because one of the largest men I've ever seen. I don't mean tall. I mean wide. And the three seats for guess who? Three seats for him. They're little skinny seats, but still, three seats for him. And when he sat down, he was so big, he squeezed against my daughter. My daughter started squeezing over here, and it was like a domino effect all the way down the line. And it was extremely uncomfortable. But, you know, you don't want to push back, obviously. And then somebody whispered to me, you know, do you know who he is? Do you know who he is? And I said, no. And he's one of the 10 richest men in Canada. And I said, no, he's not. And the person looked at me. I said, no, he's not. He said, what are you talking about? I said, no disrespect, look at him. Does that feel like rich to you? He can barely walk down, he's got a cane, he can barely walk. And he clearly wasn't, you know, older than probably 55. I mean, if you don't take care of this area, and if you don't appreciate this area, you can't be wealthy. Because that wealth, remember, it starts. You never put yourself, you never get beyond scarcity. You have to start beyond it. And the way you start beyond it is you start to understand what really makes up wealth. The second area of mastery is emotion mastery, emotional wealth, which you might think of as the wealth of meaning. If you don't have a great sense of meaning in your life, if you don't feel like what you're about, what your life is meaningful, if you live in the emotions of stress, frustration, overwhelm, worry, concern, much more than gratitude or love or a sense of making a difference, I know what your life's like no matter how much money you have. If you got $1 billion and the primary emotions you feel each day are stress, overwhelm, guilt, worry, then your life is stress, overwhelm, guilt, and worry. $1 billion doesn't do anything for you. How many know what I'm talking about here? So it doesn't matter if it's $1 billion or it's $100. The money part doesn't matter. The wealth is in the body and it's in the emotion. And until you master your emotion and meaning, you can forget it. The fastest way to deal with the fear that stops you and the stress is get grateful. Second fastest way, figure out how to add value. Get out of yourself. So many people today, I hear them talk about me, 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 me. There's one law of life that if you violate it, you'll never be wealthy. You might have money, but you won't be wealthy. And that is, life is not about me, it's about we. There's only so much happiness you can get by getting things or mastering even something within yourself. But when you are able to do something that you know is meaningful, that goes beyond yourself, that's a sense of contribution, then you feel alive. So why wait to be wealthy is really what I'm saying to you. Get rich right now. Get richer physically, get richer emotionally. And if you've been a date with Destiny or Life Mastery in Fiji or whatever, you know these are primary lessons of our lives. It can always go more, can't it? Where would you give yourself your level of wealth emotionally? Where do you live? You know, people always find a way to get to where they live emotionally. Where you live emotionally is the quality of your life along with your physiology. So where would you score yourself 0 to 10? 10 is where you want to be emotionally, the sense of meaning, joy, excitement, the emotions you live in. 0 is dead. You're not where you want to be. What's the third area of wealth? Relationships. And I'll tell you something. If you're going to enter what you think is wealth and you don't look at this area, you're going to have pain. Because I believe personally, and I believe this not just by my own experience, I've based on 3 million people I've interacted with around the world in 80 countries, seeing people seemingly have everything. If you're not happy in your relationship, your intimate relationship, you're not happy. You won't stay there. You only do so much for work. When people are dying, my mother passed away just recently, I guarantee you they're not going to talk about what they accomplished and what they achieved and what they did. It's all about relationships, isn't it? It's who loves you, who do you love, what have you given to each other? Who have you become as a man or a woman? By what you've given, by what you've developed. I don't know what the next plane of existence is. Everyone has different spiritual beliefs. I'm not here to lecture you on that area. But I do know one thing. Whatever you believe, whatever tradition you may follow, part of that tradition is about giving, not just taking. Part of that tradition is all about relationships, how we treat one another. And I can tell you that same day I was on stage, when I had this victory and $400 million, I'll tell you the end of that story. Out of my mind, greatest experience, signed autographs for 45 minutes over, hugged people, everything else. And then I left and I went home and I was depressed. True story. It was a day that changed my life. Because in America here, they have an old TV show. I don't know if you ever saw it. VH1 Behind the Music. Did you ever see that? How many know what I'm talking about here? And it's always the same story. It's about some rock band or someone who's totally successful. And then at the peak of their success, what do? They get depressed. You know, they get in a car accident, they kill themselves, they get drunk, they overdose on drugs, they do something like that. And I thought, I'm not going to do any of those things, but I don't want to be one of those stories either. And the reason I wasn't happy was, on stage, I was me. I wasn't like trying to be somebody, this is who I am, for good, bad, or worse, whatever it really is, this is me. But off stage, in order to please the person in my relationship, I was adapting to being someone else. Like, this person thought I was loud. Could you imagine me loud? You know, and that I was somewhat forceful. Forceful? What do you mean forceful? I'm a pussycat, you know? I really am inside. But when you spend your life communicating, and you got to reach somebody at the back of a room with 10,000 people, you have to be a giant magnifier of human emotion to be able to have them feel it, not just hear it intellectually. And so I was doing that. So I kept adapting and try to be something you're not. And when you're trying to be something you're not in a relationship, even if the person likes you, they don't like you. They like what you're projecting. And most people are not real in their relationships. They're projecting or they're keeping from getting into a fight. They've adapted. And people think it's time. It has nothing to do with time. I've interviewed people that have been together 50 plus years and are physically passionate, not just friends, right? It's a very different world when you have that form of wealth in your life. Without love, without intimacy, and there are many relationships, obviously your family, your children, but if you're using all your children to get your love and you don't have your intimate space, you're doing a disservice to your children. You're using them. They shouldn't have to support you. That should be one of the sources of love. Your friends, where would you vote? If it was an inverted pyramid where intimate relationship affected you the most, because that's where your greatest fear is, does somebody really love me? Will they stay with me? Am I enough? That's where the deep fears are. If that's the higher vote, and we go down to family, and then we eventually get to like friends, which is easy to have a good friendship because your rules are much better. It's easier to be a friend, isn't it? You don't have as much expectation for your friend. They have a bad day. You think, well, they're having a bad day. They're my friend. Associates. And I give you one other example. two nights ago, I'm with a dear friend of mine, actually a couple, but I was with one of them. I've known them over the last 3 or 4 years, multi-billionaires, Fortune, 400. And these people, to give you an idea, have homes all around the world, but their homes are castles, like big castles. I mean, like a castle in England, in France. They have their own mountain, to give you an idea, their own ski mountain that they own. People like Bill Gates, buy property from them, to give you an idea. So they're doing pretty well. And I was with them at one of their homes. One of their homes is in the desert and has its own entire 18-hole golf course. That's their home. And it's listed in the top, 50 golf courses in the country. And no one else plays there but their friends and them. It's their 18-hole golf course in the middle of the city. Somebody says, what club do you belong to? They go, mine. It's pretty cool, right? Maintain it, support it. And really, really generous people, both of them, incredibly generous people, good human beings, but didn't master the area called relationship with each other. Family suffering. Going to dinner was painful because I love them both. You'd see them there and just be what they do to each other, and you're like, oh my God, I could intercede here, but I'm not under that capacity right now. And you kind of offer that, like, no, it's fine. How wealthy are they when they go to bed at night and they hope the other person doesn't touch them? How many have ever felt that before in your life? Did you feel very rich? Feel very alive? I'll tell you, it was beautiful. They finally have made a separation, made a move, this couple, and what I can tell you is that at least one of them, for sure I know, has finally truly fallen in love. And I spent the evening with her and some of her family and this person the other night, and seeing the aliveness. She was wealthy. She hasn't been wealthy since I've known her. She's had tons of money, more than she could ever spend, but she's never been wealthy. She's wealthy now. She has love. So very quickly, what's the fourth one? Time. Is time a source of wealth, yes or no? And for most people, this is an area that is most scarce for them, even if they have money. I know people that got so much money, but they work. It's like they could stop, but they don't. It's not even people that have a business that they don't have any leverage. There are people who have more money they can spend, but there's this scarcity still in them, and they got to be working every single moment. Not because they're enjoying it. Don't get me wrong. I work a lot. I love it. Because there's a part of them that has to, and they stress themselves out. They do things that don't matter. What's your level of mastery of this area of your life? Not that you can get things done, that you're fulfilled. Think about it. Really think about it truthfully. How much is a long time? How much is a short time? Well, it depends on the situation. True. That's totally true. Can a minute feel like an eternity? Yes or no? When you're not enjoying yourself. And when you're loving it, can time just disappear? Yes or no? People talk about meditation. One of the ultimate meditations called love. When you're in love, time disappears. Is it true? I'll tell you what else makes you in love. What makes you wealthy is the same thing. You disappear. It's not about you anymore. When you're in love with somebody, what will you do for them? What will you do? Anything. So you're in the giving mode, so you're rich. You're not poor anymore. You're not trying to get. When you really love someone, it's not a trade. You're abundant. You're giving. You're trying to figure out what you can do to light them up. That's what makes you so happy. So time disappears. You disappear. And you need nothing else. Isn't it true? When you're totally in love. So time is an emotion. That's what it really is. It's a great time when you're enjoying yourself. It's fast. It's quick. When you're not enjoying yourself, man, does it crawl. And so guess what? The mastery of time requires the mastery of emotion. They come together. What's the fifth area? Fifth area for you after you've gone through, you got your body, you got your emotion and meaning, you got your relationships, you got time. Now you got to look at what we would call your work, your career, or your mission. And by the way, which one is it for you? Work, career, or mission? What do you call what you do? Raise your hand if you call it work, honestly, most of the time, work. By that definition, I know what level of enjoyment you have is limited. How many call it your career? A little more. How many it's your mission? Mission starts to get to something you love. You may still work hard, maybe tough, but the level of enjoyment's higher, and it's just a psychological shift, isn't it? This is an area most people feel pretty good about because they spend too much time here. When I say too much time, mean they put so much time here, but they don't take care of their body. Or so much time here, they don't take care of their relationship. Or so much time here, but they don't master their emotion because their relationships, their emotions are kind of amorphous, but I can manage my career. Make sure that this part is strong, but not at the consequence of other areas, because otherwise you still won't be rich. You can make a lot of money, but you won't be rich. You won't have the wealth. And then the sixth area, money. We finally get to the money. But that's because if you don't master the other areas, if you don't have the other areas of wealth, is this worth a whole lot? Yes or no? You don't have the physical, you don't have the emotional, you don't have the relationship, you don't have the time, you don't enjoy what you do, no sense of meaning in what you do, your career, your mission. Not a lot here. And then here's the final area, 7. If you want to be wealthy, and this is critical, and this comes full circle to where I started, and that is CNC. CNC is the spiritual sense of life, which to me is contribution and celebration. Remember the formula? I can remember clearly the formula for me striking me in the face. I was brand new. I was in this business. I was failing miserably. I was marketing for this man, Jim Rohn. I loved him. I loved what he was doing. I was talking to people, but I was terrible. I had lots of enthusiasm, but not a lot of skill. And I wasn't doing well. And I was driving on the Foothill Freeway. I'll never forget. About midnight, 12:30 at night, really late at night, and I'm driving along on my old Volkswagen that I used to turn off and it would explode, you know, just announce that I had arrived. And slick tires and the whole thing, and I literally pulled over the side of the road and I grabbed my journal because I was always journaling, capturing, which by the way, I really encourage you to do. Jotting these things down, even if you never read it again, the physical act of writing it down drives it deeper into you and your memory will be increased massively. So, you know, I pulled out my journal, pulled it literally on the freeway, and I wrote on one whole page, I still have the journal, and I wrote, "The secret to living is giving." And I started to cry. Because what I realized in that moment, I was so focused on myself and what I was getting or not getting, whether I was succeeding or I was failing. I was not focused on other people's lives. I was focused on I wasn't where I wanted to be. And when you get out of yourself and you start to figure out how to contribute, here's what I believe. Motive does matter. Motive does matter. If you're trying to do something just for yourself, there's nothing wrong with it. You deserve to do well. But I think life supports what supports more of life. I look at my life and think of the insights that have come through me. I mean, I'm a kid from Azusa, California. You know, nobody in my family had the choices that I've had in my life. You know, in the beginning, they thought I was kind of crazy. But it was because I was focused. When I made this shift and I was focused on what could I contribute, you get a different insight than when you're just trying to take care of yourself. It's like power moves to what supports life. So you're trying to support yourself, you're going to get a certain level of insight, at least if you're focused on it. Nothing wrong with that. But if you're trying to support your family, bam, all of a sudden you need more power, more insight. Things come to you because it serves more of life than just yourself. You're trying to figure out how to serve your community or your company or your customers or your world. You get a different level of insight. Motive matters. And here's where it matters most. When it's about we, not me, that doesn't mean you don't get to enjoy. You don't get to succeed. You get to succeed too. But the focus isn't just on yourself. There's a level of vibrancy in your life. And that sense of contribution is needed. You know there are 6 needs if you've been with me before. What are they? Need number 1 is certainty. Certainty you can avoid pain, you can have some pleasure, that you can survive. Comfort. 2nd is the need for that variety. Uncertainty, surprise. We all love surprise. 3rd, the need for significance, to feel unique and special, important. 4th need, the need for love and connection. And these first 4 needs, everybody meets even if they have to lie to themselves or do drugs or work extra hard. Split personalities, you're going to meet these first 4. The ultimate needs, the primary needs, beyond your ego, beyond your identity or your personality, are the spiritual needs, and there are 2 of those. Number 5, we must grow. Either grow or you. That's why progress equals happiness. Progress comes from growing. And to grow, you got to get past your fear. And to get past your fear, you got to get out of yourself, you got to get grateful, and you got to find a way to add value. And besides growing, you got to contribute, which is another word for giving, isn't it? Grow and give, and you feel alive. Don't grow and give, and you got all the money in the world, you feel dead. So contribution, but I also said, and celebration. Because some people do contribute a lot, but they never celebrate. They work harder and harder, and they play the martyr and go, oh, I help everybody, but they never take time to enjoy it. Or they're mad, well, I've given everything to my kids. Look how lucky my kids are. Instead of celebrating what they did for their kids. Celebration is part of the spiritual sense of life. That you didn't do it all, that some of it was guided. Unless you celebrate those things, you won't be wealthy. By the way, how important do you think the spiritual side of life is? It's everything, my friends. Your mind sits and divides everything up. Your mind is so valuable to use as a tool, but many of us don't realize that you're not just your mind. You know, your mind does not help you enjoy an apple. You take a bite of an apple and your mind goes, is this a good apple? Is this the best apple I've ever had? Should I eat it down the apple core? Where should I put the apple afterwards? Your mind divides, analyzes, separates. It doesn't help you necessarily enjoy. Enjoyment comes in the heart. Enjoyment goes when you go beyond your mind.